My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Underestimated yet incredibly capable, this is the life of the underdog. Inspired by Andrew's journey and brought to life by legendary designer Black Oni, the Underdog Collection is a statement and an expression of perseverance and confidence for all underdogs. Check out the Underdog Collection at andrew-alliance.com/merch. That's andrew-alliance.com/merch.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show. It is episode 595 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows. While you're there, subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Definitely subscribe to this channel here. We'll be recording the show. We're back on video. I'm excited about that. And Daniela is with me, and we're prepared to talk about some of the things that took place this week, including Halo Infinite, including the Nintendo Direct, and some other things that we're going to mention. Daniela, how are you? How's everything on your side?
It's pretty good. I don't know what's happening with my weekends here. And the fact that I woke up early 2 days in a row on my day off is mind-blowing. But I got to do a Zoom call with my family this morning. My sister is having a baby, so she did her gender reveal.
Congratulations. Congrats.
And I think majority of us were hoping she was going to have a girl. It's a boy, which is still exciting, but we have so many boys and one girl.
Okay.
Like, I have one niece.
I have, like, a blessing.
Five nephews.
Amazing. It's an amazing blessing.
It's going to be a boy. Yeah, huh? It is. It's still, I'm happy for her. new baby, new life. All that good stuff. My stepmom's coming down next month, and I don't know why my anxiety just, like, kicked up when she said that. I was like, I need to clean.
Why do you think that
is? It's one of those things when it comes to your family, come to your parents and stuff like that. And it was also really cool to meet my brother-in-law's side of the family. And see them. Not like we were, like, super bonding, because it's like, here's a online room, let's all kind of figure out Zoom, which I only really use Zoom probably less than five times in the past year. So grateful that majority of everybody wants to use Discord, like, yes, but it comes to my family, they only know Zoom, and I'm like, ugh.
I mean, Zoom is great.
It is, and that's what they know how to use, except I didn't know how to change my name, and I'm like, forget it, just here, you know my face, right. And here's my stepmom to the entire family, and this is the camera, this is the setup, this is everything that I use, and here's my stepmom. So, Daniela, are you still doing the whole video game thing? Mm-hmm. And the way she said it, I was like, I just backed away, and I'm like,
the video game thing.
Yeah. And and I just did this, and she's like, I didn't even say anything. I just showed, and it's like, yeah, I just figured I'd ask, maybe. And then she didn't even finish that. And I was like, I know what you're thinking. Maybe grew up. Maybe I did something else with my life.
Is that typically a long conversation? Like, how does that go typically?
It's really short. Like, I know that I can tell if I had some big news, like, they'd be like, oh, that's cool. Well, my sister is really super supportive and all that, but yeah, my stepmom's kind of not, and I had a reminder. It's like, I still have my 9-to-5. I still do that.
Okay.
You can still have some faith in me.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's just, And suddenly I feel like a little kid all over again, trying to justify what I want to do something. And I'm like, I don't like this feeling. And then she's like, I'll be there next month. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh boy.
I have to put away my
acting figures. So how long are they going to hang out for?
She's only going to be down here for like 4 or 5 days. She's coming in because my stepbrother's wife's dad's birthday is sometime there, and they were really close. So she's going to be there mainly for that. And then I'll probably just go out to dinner, and I'll just try not to bring and not have her want to come over to my apartment, because then I have to put away all my action figures. Because why are you still buying toys? They're not toys. They're memorabilia. I like them.
They're collectibles.
It's one of those things. But at the same time, in that same thread, so one of my brother-in-laws, I don't know if it's his brother or his cousin or something like that. He was like, we were waiting and they were setting up whatever their big box for their gender reveal. So we're all in this chat talking. And they're like, oh, when are you going to play COD with me again? Like, these two guys that are friends or families or whatever together. And my stepmom was walking past. And she's all like, oh, you should talk to Daniela. She does those things. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, she does those things. So she can probably give you some tips. So in the same thread that she isn't fully supportive or understanding, she knows that this is something I'm good at, and that Absolutely. She'll like, you should talk to my stepdaughter about this. And then they looked, and then they, I guess, like in Zoom, since most of them were on the phone, I don't know what Zoom like looks like on the phone. I guess you have to like kind of swipe to find the video of the person. It does, theirs isn't set to whoever's the active speaker. Like, I don't know, the video doesn't pop up. So they're over there and they look, they're like, oh, you have a mic? Oh, your cam looks good. Is that your... Oh, I see a gamer chair. What do you do? I was like, oh, dear Lord. She's like, yeah, just talk to her. Just talk to her. She has all this stuff. I don't know what she does. She just wastes her money. But she knows something. Wow. And I'm like, just go... Because I couldn't change my name, so I still said Miss GJM on it. They're like, just Google that name there. And I did it, and they're like, oh, I followed you, oh, I did this, oh, you do that. I'm like, yes.
They should just, I mean, watch the content and then judge from there. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
It is, and then it turns into, like, when my brother was walking past the screen, why didn't you tell me that your sister-in-law blah, blah, blah does this? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, because...
Yeah, I think some people don't get it. They don't see how much work it takes to get to a place where you're on camera, you're recording a podcast, and you're consistent with it for a very long time, you're streaming for a very long time. I don't think that people actually understand what it takes to get here. I don't think they do. Because if they did, they'd probably have a little bit more appreciation for it. But I really don't think that the individuals who are the commenters on YouTube or the tweeters on Twitter actually understand the magnitude of getting to a place where you're actually on camera or on a microphone. It's not as easy as we make it look. I'll say that, right? It takes time. It takes time to get here. It takes, you know, you have to work through your confidence issues. You have to work through just getting to a place where you believe that you can do it, right? And then finally, you have to hit the record button. And you have this little red dot, wherever that happens to be, on your screen to generate this content for the world, or whoever decides to hit play on any platform, right? I don't think people actually understand, like, even now, whether it's a TikTok that's 15 seconds, 30 seconds, or whatever, a YouTube short, it takes a lot of work. Even the YouTube shorts and the TikToks take a long time to get to a place to get that 15 seconds, as compact as it is. But, I mean, I digress. I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think majority of people are like that. They think it's super simple. When it comes to my family, I know that they know that it's not super simple. but they see it as a waste of energy unless you're making a lucrative amount. It's very much tied to how much money you're making, because I mean, you want your kids to, you know, be able to live comfortably, be able to provide for themselves, provide for their own families. So when you have something that you're doing that isn't, that can't supplement a 9-to-5 job, it's kind of like, well, why are you doing it then? It's like that lack of, like, I'm doing it because I enjoy doing this because it brings me joy.
Right.
Whereas their hobbies that bring them joy is redoing their yard and putting in plants. And I'm like, no, that's not me. Or learning, I think my sister is going for another degree. My mom got some other, I don't know, cyber security something certification or class that she's teaching. She works for Verizon. She works in data security for Verizon in Texas. So, like, my family all does something within the tech field. So that's the field that I'm in. That's where it is. But it doesn't necessarily bring me joy. Like, it brings them joy. And I'm like, it's just a job. I do it. I come home. When I come home, it doesn't come with me. Like, my mind isn't there. I know I have these certifications I should probably go for. But convincing me to open it up and read it on my time where I want to relax, where I want to do something that brings me happiness, it's just, I'm not on that same level. Whereas they are, it's like, oh, we just did this. This is super exciting. They get excited about those things. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? In the same, right, right. In the same sense that they're like, so what did you do lately? I'm like, I just spent $200 so that I can do Halloween costumes online for people and entertainment. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because it's fun. Because it's fun, because I enjoy it, because I probably will never grow up in the same speed that the rest of the world is going at. And I think that's okay. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, even though there is some level of disappointment in that, they also know that I'm happy. So they're not going to sit there and be like, you should be doing this, and outwardly say, like, we hate what you're doing. Like, you're not harming anybody, whatever. We might not understand it, but go do you. Don't call us from jail.
Yeah, I think that even looking at situations like that, I think a lot of folks where they see you doing things that you love, they, as you mentioned earlier, some folks only attach certain things, certain activities to a money exchange, right? But they don't necessarily see the fact that you creating the content that you have has allowed you to get certain opportunities that people are still wondering, how on earth did this happen for you? Whether that's a partnership of some sort or being on a panel of some sort, whatever the case is, where you were given that particular opportunity based on the fact that you had a portfolio of content that's been out in the world, you know, ever since, you know, you started creating content with the streaming stuff, right? And even the podcasting stuff. And I don't think that people see, like, how hard this is, right? Because we've done it for so long, it seems like, you know, it's a piece of cake. And to some degree, you know, that's true after a while, but it does take a lot to make sure the audio equipment is right, the video equipment is right, you know, your mic holder doesn't fall apart, or, you know, your cam isn't flickering, or anything that could potentially happen, you know, prior to you actually hitting the record button or whatever. And I think that these things always get, you know, we don't necessarily talk about those things often enough. And maybe that's on us, you know, because we don't necessarily talk about these things and how much they affect us to get to a place where, hey, you had a bad day today and you still have to record a podcast because you want to put this content out to the world. So you try to shake it off, right? Then you record the podcast and then somebody says something crazy online and you're compelled to reply. But, you know, you're not, if you reply, it's going to affect not only your personal brand, like
My family's just looking for bragging rights. That's all.
It's a lot.
It is.
Well,
it is. Especially, because they travel. They travel quite often, and a lot of them travel for work. And obviously, some of them pay attention to some stuff, because Twitch is getting out there, and it's, like, being known, and obviously the clarification of, like, you do the Twitch thing, right? I'm like, yes, I do. Seeing that they were in New York a couple months ago, and I think a couple months ago was during Black History Month, I think it was. And obviously they had Twitch, they had YouTube Gaming showcasing their content creators on there, which is awesome. And I think it's cool. Obviously for this month, I think their Godfrey was on there for this month, you know. to have to explain, or not even explain, like, I got nothing to say. Like, I really have nothing to say or justification of, like, so when do you get your face up there? I'm like, I have a lot of work I need to do to do that, to earn that right, to earn that privilege. And those people who got to be there did a lot. I'm not on that same level. Well, what do you have to do? A lot. I got nothing else to add on to that. Well, and it's like that throughout both sides of my family, is having those bragging rights. And it's not even bragging rights for that person. It's bragging rights for our parents. Just so weird.
Yeah.
So my contribution, which was actually, like, it sounds like it was a really bad Zoom call. It really wasn't. It was a lot of fun, and I love talking to my family and getting to meet my brother-in-law's family. It's just like, to lead it up to something funny of, like, you know, if everybody's showcasing stuff, like, one thing that my grandmother could say, because my son is her oldest grandchild. She like, when she got to the line of, like, okay, so my stepdaughter doesn't have anything of, like, great notations there to showcase. So she has my grandson who's going off into the Air Force, and he's going to be doing this. I'm like, at least I got something. I got one thing. I have the oldest that's doing stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. Any last bits on a life update stuff before we get to the game and stuff?
Like we said in our last episode of 594, that I was going to watch Luther.
Okay.
I have been.
Okay, so we're going to add Luther, and then we're going to add Why the Last Man, because I did watch one episode of that. And then from there, we're going to jump into the Halo Infinite stuff. So Luther, what did you, first episode, what did you think?
You asked me to watch one episode. You know what? I did 17 times better, and I watched 17 out of the 20 episodes. Do not underestimate my power of binge watching.
Okay. What did you think?
I think it's really good. Like, Idris Elba is a fantastic actor. But it isn't so much his acting that is the biggest draw for me. It is the stories they're telling and how they're telling it, and the roller coaster that it puts you on. Yep. And they're so involved and well written and thought out. I love the stories. And even though Luther, John Luther, played by Idris Elba, is like that constant, well, along with the detective superintendent, which is his boss, he is like the one constant character, but I love the rotation of the partners that he gets. I feel really sad for them, because, like, he has like this, like, he's a good detective.
He got issues with too.
Terrible luck here. Like,
right.
Like, I felt bad for him. I'm like, how, like, there's like misunderstandings here. Like, season two, I believe it was, I think it was season two, where they were doing this investigation on him, thinking he's like this dirty cop, and he like takes the law into his own hands, where I feel like, okay, so he did like one thing that was really super questionable, but he had good intentions for it. And And it's like everything else he was just doing by the book. He was really good by his job. He's cracking these cases. But they have this entire thing because all of these people die around him. Like, he's tied to it in some way. And like, what broke my heart, which made me so angry. So one of his partners, which was D.S. Ripley, I think he made a great partner. Like, he was a ride or die, like, I guess, protege. I don't know how to describe him, that he was working with him.
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah.
And like, immediately after, I'm sorry for spoiling this, but I realized that the show's been out for a while and I never watched it. But, you know, he dies, and then they blame it on him, like, as if he planned that whole thing out.
Right.
I was like,
exactly.
Like, you guys are the worst, like, cop detectives ever. I don't know what they're called. I know there's a section for it called where they investigate dirty cops, but like, you guys are the worst. Like, I feel like that one guy that was heading this investigation on Luther just had this personal vendetta against him. That was it. Like, he was just blinded by everything, and it's just against him for personal reasons rather than, you know, this is legit a bad cop. He isn't. He really isn't. So now I'm in, I got 3 episodes left. I'm in season 5. I'm really sad about it, but I love how long these episodes are. I just, like, I don't know how seasons work in the UK, because I felt the same thing about, like, Sherlock. Like, these seasons are short. Like, what's happening? Like, I think the first season had 6 episodes. The second season had...
You're getting, like, a whole hour. Like,
yeah, you are getting a whole hour. So I'm like, right. Do they not have commercials over there? Because like, our shows that are like an hour are actually technically like what, 45 minutes, because commercials are in there. Like, this is like full hours, but there's such short seasons still. Like, how can season 3 only be 2 episodes? 2 episodes,
right?
Like, what happened? But yeah, it was really good. I like the cast that goes in through
it's
it.
It's amazing.
I really do.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, I watched 1 episode of Why the Last Man. I like it, but it's really sad. It's really sad. So just the leading up to the different lives that you get to see before the thing starts getting out of control, it's like you really feel sad about that, those things that are happening to the individuals, and it's sad. So I don't know, like, does it get better?
Yes, I mean, it's still sad.
Okay,
but yes, it does get better.
Okay, great acting though, I'll give it that. Great acting, so I'm enjoying that portion of it. But so far, so good. You know, just things are, people are dying everywhere. So, I mean, that, I think that's obvious if you've seen any, I guess, clips or pay attention. This was a comic, you said, also?
It is a comic.
So just trying to understand, like, how close is the comic, the movie series, or the show itself to the comics? Is it really close? That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you.
The main story is pretty close so far.
Okay.
Obviously, when you have anything that's adapted to a TV show or a movie, there are some liberties that are taken to change it, to make it fit better, especially sticking with the modern times. And then... it's very interesting how they pull in. So, like, one of the more modern things is obviously, you know, you're sticking with it being like LGBT friendly and explaining that, you know, one of the characters are in there. Like, yeah, I like how it's kind of sticking with that. So it's a little bit more relatable to answer some questions that people would ask, like, well, what about these people? But so, I've been trying to navigate that well, because I don't want to give anything away, especially for people who haven't read the comic books. Like, I'm watching it with my boyfriend, who's never read the comics, doesn't really know anything about it. And he'll ask me questions and I know the answer. And I'm like, I just smile and nod.
Right. So the question I have is, was the thing in the ambulance, I'm not going to talk about what happened there, but the thing in the ambulance in the first episode, was that something that was in the comics as well, or that was something that they added in?
A little bit added in.
Okay, so a little bit added in. Okay. Yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's great as far as the acting is concerned and all those things. Very sad, you know, watching some of the things play out, but I don't know. I'll give it one or two more. I just want to get a little bit more to see what's going on there and decide if it is my thing. I love the drama, mystery, the anticipation of it, you know, with some of the things that are about to happen or that are happening. I need to watch a little bit more.
I hope you do. The one thing that I am a little bit irritated is, like, Yorick. He is so much more annoying. like I don't remember being that annoyed with him in the comic, like, ever. Like, there's some times where I'm like watching because I'm up to date. There's a new episode that that's coming out tonight, Sunday. And
what time?
I'm not. I just really, I don't know what time. I watch it on Hulu. I don't know what time it actually airs. But yeah, when I'm watching it, I just want to punch him. Like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is sticking pretty close to the comic for yours.
Yeah, I'm trying not to ask anything that actually is, you know, going to reveal too much, especially if individuals are planning to watch it. There's just, I have questions already. Okay, so. Okay, can you tell me, is the divorce final?
What do you mean, is the divorce final? Is his mom?
The divorce situation with the couple.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But, like, he's dead, so.
Yeah, a lot is happening. A lot is happening. So, final thoughts, and then we'll move to Halo.
I'm enjoying watching it. I look forward to it. It's hard for me to, because I'm a serial binge watcher. Hard for me to wait a whole week, but I really like it. I do. Then the only other show I watched this week was The Circle. Don't watch The Circle.
Okay. All right.
No, okay, okay. The Circle is a reality TV show. It's on season 3. So every season is a new group, and it starts off with until The Circle is complete, there's always 8 players in there. And they never get to meet each other. And basically, it's a social media game, I guess it is, social popularity game. You can choose to go into it as yourself, using your own profile pictures, you know, the truth, posting it like you would create a profile online. You can go in as a catfish and you can pose as somebody else. Or you can be like a mixture of both, where you're using your photos and just altering like certain information about yourself. But basically, you never get to meet these people. You get your own apartment and you play these mini games, and you have like these certain times through the day where you can talk in this chat room to get to know each other. And then every couple of days or so, there's a rating system, and each of the players rate each other about, you know, how strong of a relationship or friendship that they've built with people. And usually it's really fun. The first 2 seasons was really fun to watch. This season was kind of eh. The season finale is next week. And I personally would love to be on that show. I was really sad because Jackie Jing, she was actually the last contestant that was on, that was brought in, and she actually, if you remember, she was actually co-hosting E3 this year. So okay.
Don't
I was
remember.
Like, oh,
well, go ahead.
Oh, I was like, oh, I know that face. I mean, I don't know her personally, but I recognize that face. I know what she's done. That's cool that she's in there. Yeah, she didn't make it. She was kind of working against her because you have these players who've been in and playing for like the last 2 weeks, and then you have somebody that's brought in towards the tail end. You don't really get a build as close of a relationship or trust with them in those couple days that you had with like the last couple weeks with these other players. So she didn't make it to the finale. I was a little bit sad about that. But yeah, these players aren't that interesting or that fun, or like, it's just kind of a little bit annoying. So skip season 3. Watch season 1 and 2.
No idea. Well, I have no idea what that is, but
it's on Netflix. It's one of the few game shows I enjoy watching.
I probably I'm waiting for the animated series, the next one for DC. So I'm looking forward to what they're going to show there. But at any rate, Halo Infinite. Did you get
all
it?
All you.
At all. Did you? All me.
I didn't.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it's all you.
So I like to say, so Halo Infinite, let's talk about that. We had the multiplayer tech preview this weekend. They did have a video, an early just discussional type of thing on their channel to talk about some of the things that to look forward to for Halo Infinite. I think that this is the best Halo yet, right? I think this is the best Halo yet. I love the fact that they're really focusing on making sure that the tech preview is, you know, just hammering the servers for themselves. So as we get ready to get into November, December, to get to Halo itself, that we're not going to have any issues with multiplayers or anything like that. I like the fact that they added the bot system. I think that gives you an opportunity for you to kind of like warm up, you know, because typically you'll have to warm up in the game. But if you want to warm up before you get into like actual multiplayer matches, you can just use the bots, maybe increase the difficulty of the bots, and then just, you know, warm up that way before you actually jump into the matches themselves with real, you know, humans and stuff like that. So I like the fact that that's there. That's not necessarily a new thing, right? Because we've seen it in Call of Duty and some other games as well. And I think the fact that we're seeing it in a game like Halo is really great. I like that they added different elements of our FPS games of today, like maybe like a little loot cave where you can grab like a power weapon, but not necessarily something that you have to do a lot in that particular section. It's just to activate with your I was going to say ghost, but with like Cortana or whatever, right? You put it on the door, open that door, get a weapon, and now you have a little bit more advantage in that particular match. I love that. So as I've said before in previous shows that we've had, Halo Infinite is giving you a breath of everything that we've seen for all the FPSs in the last couple of years. It is fast-paced, but yet it still feels like Halo. It is intense, like some of the other games, like your Call of Duties, but it still feels like the way Halo is supposed to be played, right? Multiplayer, now you have a grappling hook, which can get you in and out of situations, which is really good. So as much as you can be a laid-back individual playing the game, you can also be super close quarters because of the abilities that you have as far as the grappling hook to get in and out of situations. I think that's fantastic. So playing the actual tech preview this weekend, I think that it is solid. It is a solid contender for just being what it has been for the last 20 years, one of the best multiplayer games that we've seen on any platform, right? And I think that the fact that we have it on PC and all the other platforms that we have it on, and you're probably going to be able to stream it, you know, with the cloud stuff. All that is going to be fantastic, and portions of it is going to be free to play. So it's going to allow new individuals who've never played Halo before to finally get an opportunity to play Halo. And it's really, really well done. So shout outs to the entire team for putting on a great tech preview for Halo. And I think it's going to be fantastic come December.
You getting it then? You're pumped?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really well done. Music is incredible. Everything that you love about Halo, if you've ever played any of the Halos, you're going to enjoy this one. If you've been watching videos and things of that nature, what you're seeing and appreciating by watching a stream or maybe watching a video on YouTube or what have you, it is going to be one of the best Halo games yet. And they can't mess this up. They can't mess this up.
It's going to hurt them if they do. If it gets poor reviews or whatever like that, it's going to really hurt them. But, you know, you're not the only person that I heard good things about the Halo Infinite testing and the multiplayer that I've heard a lot of people enjoying it. So, you know, that's a good sign. It's always a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. So they did a great job there. Next thing that I want to touch on, Netflix, League of Legends, animated series impressions. You watched the trailer. I'll watch it as well. What did you think?
Okay. It's not an unknown fact that I really don't care for League of Legends. Like, the game itself, it's too much for me. I will be that person. It's just too much going on for me to juggle and to be good at to play. So I just quit while I was ahead. It does not mean that I am not amazed by how well it does, the fan base that is created. So for it to come as an animated series, to develop this story so that people who are like me or even just hardcore League fans can just dive into more of this universe that they enjoy, or to introduce people like me into it, I think is fantastic. I really love the art style and the direction they went to it. Like, the story from that trailer already got me interested. My interest peaked into it, and I was all like, oh, I can get into this. Will it get me into playing the game? For me personally, probably not. But to be invested into the story, I think there's a really good chance of it. I really liked what I saw. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to, so here's where I'm at with all of this stuff, and all this stuff meaning from games to movies to shows, all those things. Where I'm at right now is I just want to enjoy everything that I'm watching for what it is, right? So I even when we're talking about Why the Last Man, even though I'm hesitant to watch more, I think I'm going to, because I just want to know what's happening and just appreciate what I'm watching, even though I didn't read the comics. So back to League of Legends, right? So watching it, I'm just appreciating it for what it is. I didn't spend a lot of time playing League of Legends, right? But I can appreciate that they're actually taking this world and expanding it to how we're enjoying it today. Like, even with Street Fighter, right? You have all these characters and all these backstories. When they started doing the animated series for Street Fighter, I just got excited, because now you get an expansion of a magnification of these characters and their backgrounds, right? And I think when we get an opportunity to experience things like this, we should just enjoy it. We can be critical. I know that's what we do as creators of audio and video content. That's fine, right? But just enjoy it for the fact that they didn't have to make it, right? And the fact that we're able to enjoy it, I think that that's a beautiful thing. So that's where I'm at right now when it comes to a lot of these things, where, you know, production value is fantastic on a lot of things that we're seeing. And even if it's, even some intros may not necessarily match what you thought the intro should be, you know, Cowboy Bebop, whatever, right? I know some people are in their feelings about that. But let's just see what happens when it comes out, okay? And then from there, we can be all overcritical as we are at times when we're creating content on our platforms of choice, if you will. So that's where I'm at. I'm not going to be overcritical about it right now. I want to see what's going to happen. I appreciate the world. Even if I'm just watching the game, I think it's fantastic. Whether it's an Overwatch thing or a League of Legends thing or whatever it is, I think that I'm at a place now in my journey of games or talking about them just to try to enjoy what's happening. So that's where I'm at. I really appreciate what I saw for the trailer, and those are my thoughts on that.
I think when there's people who haven't gotten to the point to appreciate things for what they are and what they can offer, I think it's definitely a lot harder for people who are very... Okay, so let's say Cowboy Bebop. That's been out for a while. People are huge fans of it. They know what the story is. And over the years, they always picture, like, if this was a live action, what actor could it be? Who would be great to fit into it? So sometimes when it comes to fruition and it's like it doesn't exactly match up, I can understand people's like a little bit of frustration of it because it's something that they're so tied into. Whereas like League of Legends, yeah, it's a game and yeah, it has a really big fan base, but there's not like a fully developed, thought out storyline that people grasped and held on to. Are there some stories behind the characters? Yes, but it's not like something that is this huge story. You kind of make up, like, you get the lore in bits and pieces here, but it's not like something that was a story that's being retold in a live action or in an animated. So I can understand some people's, like, kind of hesitancy or judgment on something when they get that first initial reaction of, like, oh, man. Like, going it. But, like Cowboy Bebop, when Netflix shows what the opening trailer is going to be like, and a lot of those people who are very hesitant about the initial screenshots from that were released and they're picking apart when they got to see the trailer, or not the trailer, but the intro to it, they're like, wow, okay, this is a lot closer to what I imagined, what I pictured. So that's going to happen. And we have another show later on that we're going to be talking about that I have my own personal feelings about there, but no, I can kind of understand that. I think just something that has a story that's already been told and it's being retold in a different type of medium, people are just going to be really tied to it. I'm definitely like that, especially for like books that are being made into movies. The book is always going to be better. I don't think I've ever watched a single movie that outdid what the book has. Even if it's like Lord of the Rings, there's still things like, I think the Lord of the Rings films is fantastic, but there are things that can be, you know, picked away at from the movies compared to the book.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. I think that, we just have to, and especially we're heading into the fall, winter, you know, let's just enjoy. There's a lot coming down the pipeline. There's some things happening this week. Can't talk about them yet, but you'll see those things play out at some point. Next thing we have Steam Deck FAQ. Can you open that? Can you open that up?
Yeah, I got it
let's
open.
Let's talk about some of those things. Sweet. So I'm going to open it on my side as well. And let's go ahead and run through this real quick. So answers of some of the common questions we're receiving from the community press and that kind of thing. Can you have multiple Steam accounts on one Steam Deck? The answer is yes. Can I run non-Steam games through Proton on Steam? You can do that. Will Steam on Steam Deck have an add a game feature like Steam on desktop? Yes, that will be an option. So they're aiming for this one here. Will the UI on Steam Deck replace Big Picture? They're aiming for that to change. And I'm just going to do one or two more, and we're going to link this as well. Let's go to, can Steam Deck be used as a PC controller? The answer is yes. And the last one that I'll do, and Danielle, if you want to grab a couple, I'll do this one here on the left side. It says, will Steam Deck work with PC VR headsets? And the Steam Deck, it says here, while technically a PC VR headset can be connected, the Steam Deck is not optimized for PC VR experiences. Danielle, grab a couple, and then I would have
lost my mind if they would have said yes. There's like no possible way that I would ever believe any handheld would be able to run any of the wired VR headsets. So interesting that it can be hooked up. So somebody's gonna figure that out. Somebody will figure out that. But I'm honestly, having a PC VR hooked up to my Steam Deck wasn't one of the things that I was thinking it was going to be possible. So one of the questions that was asked that I think I really liked was about BIOS and dual boot. So multi-boot is supported. They can support multiple OSs installed and choose which one to boot to. So that, I think that's really awesome, that modifications, that open source there that people can go and dive into and improve their Steam Deck, I think is fantastic. One of the weird questions I think was in there that I was like, support external GPUs? That's a no. That is a no. That's a very interesting question. I can't even think of ways why, but okay. They want you, obviously, to later on get their Steam Deck, you know, 2 or whatever later down the lines, and that's where you're going to get your upgrades for your GPUs. But I'm sure with the way that this thing is being built, I'm sure that somebody's going to figure it out. There are some incredibly smart people out there in the world that always makes these things happen.
That's right.
Is this touchscreen multi-touch? I thought it was a funny answer. Yes, 10 fingers.
Right.
Yeah, and then I think there was one I saw about expansion file formats for micro SD cards, that you can use those. It's going to be using the EXT4s with case foldings. As long as you have it formatted to the proper one, you're good to go. You know, I think these are pretty good questions, but, you know, if you go want to check them out, see all of the questions, definitely go and visit theshowradio.info. We're going to have the link there to see everything else. But let us know if you have yours pre-ordered and which one.
Indeed. I have mine pre-ordered. I'm still holding on to it. Still, I guess, a little skeptical, but at the same time, I'm excited to see what else they're going to announce as it relates to the Steam Deck. So definitely visit theshowradio.info. You could also visit steamdeck.com/en/FAQ, and that will get you there as well. So next thing that we have, Nintendo Direct. Let's jump into that. Any thoughts, reactions, things that you like, didn't like? Daniela, go ahead. Nintendo Direct.
So, couple things. So, they're obviously one of the things that they're expanding on top of their Nintendo Online service, which they're calling it Nintendo Online Plus Expansion, which is an add-on. I actually went to go look and see if I could go and jump onto that, because they're expanding it so that you can get your N64 games and your Sega games, which I love Sega games, so I was really super pumped. They also announced the N64 controller and the Genesis controller that you can order. I know I have a bunch of both of those, but I kind of want another one if they're going to offer that. My biggest takeaway for game-wise, though, let me go back. I am going to upgrade to the expansion online, whatever they want to call it, to get access to those libraries. I currently just have the individual, which is like, they have the most affordable subscription service. It's like, if you have the individual, I think I pay $20 for the year. And then you can get the family one, which is like $35. Really, like, that's still cheaper than Sony and Xbox. So I don't have a problem with that. I couldn't find information about how much it's going to cost to get the expansion plus for the additional library of games. But as far as games takeaway, my biggest, like, oh my God, I need that game right now was ActRaiser. I love ActRaiser. It's definitely in, I can't say my top 10, probably my top 25 lifetime favorite games is ActRaiser. I played that on Super Nintendo, so when they started showing ActRaiser Renaissance, I need it. I absolutely need it. It might not necessarily be on my Switch, though, because I had to go and double check and go and look. It's available on Steam for $30. And I was like, do I need to spend $30 right now?
No, you don't.
Yes, we do. You do. But that was definitely one of the big things for me. I mean, they had a lot of other great games that they talked about. But it wasn't, that was the only one that was like, oh snap, I was not expecting that. I need to add that on. Metroid Dread, all that content looks good. I didn't know that they had that entire, I guess, story that they had going on in there. I think they're up to 8, so I'm going to go back, look and read through that. Disco Elysium Director's Cut, that looked really good. Another new game in there is Voice of Cards. That looked super interesting, kind of right up my alley. I mean, they have a lot that are definitely catering, and I'm sure for the bigger fan base of these people, they were super pumped. Like, you had the Hyrule Warriors stuff that was announced. You have more Splatoon that was being announced. What was there? Kirby and the Forgotten Land. But really, like, those were my big ones. ActRaiser Renaissance, Metroid Dread, Voice of Cards, and Disco Elysium. What about you?
There's only one game that really got me excited. Just one, right?
Just,
I mean,
one.
There's other things, but just one. The only game that really got me hype was Bayonetta. That's one of my favorites. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed that series until they started limiting where they published the second one, because the second one didn't come out everywhere, right? It didn't hit Xbox, I don't recall, right? And I just love the way that the game plays. It's an amazing title. So that I saw. Now, of course, the Mega Drive thing was pretty neat to see. When would, if you told me in the 90s that in the future, okay, Nintendo is going to have Genesis games on their platform, I would have laughed. I would have laughed at you, okay? But it's just amazing to see the partnerships and collaborations that you would never believe will take place ever, right? Because there is a financial incentive to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Why not? Why not, right? And I think that's where we are. Whether you're looking at PlayStation games on a PC, Nintendo doing this thing with Sega, if it goes well, they'll add more, right? So if the PC PlayStation thing didn't go well, we wouldn't see additional games being released. We would not even be considering, like, Naughty Dog anything, right, on the PC, which I'm pretty excited about, right? So I think that we're at a place now where a collaboration of all the companies that we thought were against each other, even though in the background they're probably best friends, right? That they're collaborating on games and projects that we've enjoyed throughout the years. And I think this is good. I think this is good. Actually, no. I think this is great for gaming in general, because it gives everybody an opportunity to play where they want. And as more collaborations take place, I think it's going to be easier to cross these lines of gaming, right? And I think that's a beautiful thing to see, whether that's Nintendo and Sega, whether that's PlayStation stuff on PC, et cetera, et cetera. You can go to, whether it's collaboration of fighting characters in different fighting games, whatever it is. I think we're in a beautiful place where most of that stuff is happening, or communication stuff, whether you're communicating from somebody on one platform to another. The cross-play stuff, of course, have been fantastic. So I think we're at a great place right now.
It can only get better. It can only get better. Can you imagine that there's going to be a time period where, you know, in 20 years, Sony's going to be out there and expanding their PlayStation Online to, like, Ed, you can play all your favorite Xbox games. All those exclusives.
I mean, I love it.
Can you imagine playing Gears on PlayStation? Like it legitimately being there? That'd be crazy.
Wasn't there, like, a port that was on Sony?
Somebody
that
kind of.
Out? Right.
Kind
right.
of. Somewhat.
Kind of. Maybe.
It could be saying the other way around too, you know, Xbox fans are like, oh, you can play all your favorite PlayStation 1 games.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Definitely.
It is,
beautiful.
And then PC is gonna be like, whoa, we got them both. that's what's gonna happen. It's like PC players are like, whoa. We already have both those games on ours.
it's a great time to be alive in this world right now. As it relates to, like, context is everything, right? The gaming industry, right? Where we're able to play all these fantastic games. Or what was that? The girl with the bow and arrow thing that came out? Kena something? You see that one? Beautiful game.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played it yet. Yeah.
It's amazing, right? So, yeah. I mean, I know it's not in the notes, but I'm just saying, like, just beautiful games like that come out, right? And then you have games like we've always loved, like the Gears and the Halos of the world and the Destiny. And then you have the Overwatch game and you have Rainbow Six. And I mean, come on. Like, there's so much good stuff out there right now. And even, you know, if you just want to play Uno, just open that up, right? I think we're in a great place. We're in a great place with the gaming stuff. And I think that we should enjoy it for what it is, in my opinion. And not necessarily be overcritical. I know we're going to criticize some things as we're playing it. But at least bring some kind of value with that particular criticism where the company can make those changes and make those adjustments so we can continue playing the game, right? And whatever that game is, whatever additional patches need to happen, things of that nature. I think we're in a great place. And I'm trying to... Okay, so Bayonetta, definitely. Trailer is amazing. I loved everything about it. Danielle, I want to hear your thoughts on the trailer if you saw it on it. I think we got one more thing after that. But Bayonetta 3 trailer, what'd you think?
It looked fun. Did she always dance so weirdly like that?
Yep.
I'm just like, there's a good portion of you just kind of dancing.
Yep.
But no, it looked like a lot of fun. It looked really good. Is there a Bayonetta, like, short animated series somewhere in the world? Because I think that would be fun to watch too.
I don't know, but we should look that up because... So... Even from what I remember with the cutscenes, they're just, you know, take all the cutscenes together from one game. I'm sure somebody did that on YouTube. You'll enjoy that.
I probably will, but I would like to have, like, a whole series, like Netflix, go ahead and pick up Bayonetta and just add on to that universe. I think that would be one of the great ones to definitely have its own series for, is Bayonetta.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's something that we can definitely look at. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that has been done, either like a fan-made project or something like that. But yeah, she's always been interesting. Yeah.
Can I talk about giving something criticism then? Trying to accept things for what they are, which I'm having a really hard time accepting. The Super Mario movie announcement.
Okay, so talk to me about that.
I think I'm like, I just got super hung up on Chris Pratt being casted for Mario. Like,
why?
I cannot picture his voice coming out of Mario and me taking it seriously. It just doesn't click. Like, yeah, you'd make a great Mario. No, in my head, I can't. It's weird. It's like, here's Star-Lord, who he makes a great Star-Lord, and I can't remember his character from Parks and Recreation. He was great as that, but like, I don't know if I can agree with that casting. I don't have any other better actor to put in his place. I really don't. But his is probably the only one that I'm kind of stuck on. And maybe Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen has been casted to play or to voice Donkey Kong. And sure, if Donkey Kong had a very crude mouth, maybe. I don't know what kind of animated movie this is going to be, or the story. I think everybody else that has been put in there, like Luigi is casted by Charlie Day, Peach is Anya Taylor-Joy, Bowser is being played by Jack Black. This man is going to be in two video game movies because he's also being currently working and voicing Claptrack for the Borderlands movie. You have Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. You had Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek. Somebody needs to tell me if I ever said that name right. Kamek. I feel like every time I say that little character's name, I'm saying it wrong, but nobody's ever corrected me. And then you have Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm probably saying his last name wrong. I'm so sorry. He's playing Spike. So for like Chris Pratt as Mario, I don't know about that one. Seth Rogen, Donkey Kong. Still mixed feelings about that. Everybody else, I'm like, okay. I can picture it. I can see that. Don't know about those two. I really don't. I really don't know.
I don't think I'm excited for it. I'll just have to see what happens. I have no real thoughts on the Mario thing right now. I'm just gonna wait.
See, I think this definitely falls into the ones where that, like, you already kind of have like this weird bad taste in it from past attempts. Like the Mario Luigi animated series, it was fun to watch as a kid. I enjoyed it as a kid. I'm a little bit cringy on it as an adult. The Mario movie, well, that was just bad. Like that thing was a joke. Like, I got to watch it. It's like one of those like guilty pleasures to watch, but it definitely wasn't very good. So, I'm kind of glad that it's not a live action. I think as an animated movie, it's a little bit more forgiving. I just, like, when I hear his voice, like, I can't.
I don't know. I think it's early.
You gotta wait. Which, you know what's weird is that the person that has been voicing Mario for, like, years, which is Charles Martinet, he's gonna make cameo appearances as different characters throughout this movie. And I'm like, you have a perfectly fine Mario right there. But okay. Okay.
We gotta wait on that one. I'm gonna wait. I have no thoughts on it right now.
I need to see a trailer. I need to hear it because I don't see it.
Exactly.
I can't picture.
Exactly. So I'm just gonna wait for that, and then once we get something more tangible, then I'll be able to. Too early right now for that for me. Final thoughts on Nintendo Direct stuff before we go to the last topic.
I really want to know. I think they're having another one in October, but it's more covering definitely for the Animal Crossing content that's going to be coming out. I'm very interested in it. but I've also have a certain level of fear of logging back into my my island on Animal Crossing. And I don't know if anybody else ever feels this way. So when I don't know what happened, but I stopped playing it for a little bit. I logged in and I got those little judgmental comments and snide remarks from the people living on my island because, like, oh, it's been a while since I've seen you here. And I was like, gosh. So now that it's been like over a year since the last time I logged in, I am very, very scared by the amount of weeds I have to pick and the snide remarks of the people living on my island. I don't want to deal with that negativity right now, but they're going to be bringing back Roost. And I'm like, I need my coffee. How can I go onto my island and just avoid all the people?
Right.
Can I just kick them all off? But yeah, that's where I'm at with it. And I'm looking forward to that. So I like free content. I like free updates.
Absolutely. Okay, so the last one is somewhat controversial, but it's too early. Okay? It's too early. Okay, so Microsoft's Perfect Dark reboot will be co-developed by Crystal Dynamics. Daniela, you go first.
I think it's too early to share this tidbit.
Okay, because?
Well, look what happens when you announce something that you're working on something. And this goes for anybody, not just for them, but for anybody. When you announce something too early, and then people want these updates for it, because we're living in this world where we need updates, like, now. We want to know where it's at now, especially for, like, really loved series. Perfect Dark is a really loved series.
Yes.
Dying Light, that was announced too early. And
yes.
See where that got them. Cyberpunk, like, they did a trailer, a little teaser trailer, yeah. And then like 8 years later, here's our game. But in between that, you didn't hear anything. But it wasn't really like that's a whole new game.
When did you hear about Apex?
Like when it announced,
right.
But like when it came out, there here's
right.
Apex.
Right.
So when it comes like this, it's like, hey, we're still in development of it. We don't really have anything to show for a teaser trailer that we're working on this reboot with, you know, as like co-developers with this other studio. We just have like, here's a Twitter post here. If they had some type of like, you know, in the works teaser trailer to go along with it, to really hype it up, okay. Like, do that. And then end it with, we're working, it's a partnership between the Initiative and Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah. You got more? Or
what do you think? No, that's kind of where it is. Like, cool. Do you have anything to visually show me? No? Okay. Let me know when you do.
So the challenge here is Marvel's Avengers is clouding what could have been an amazing announcement. That's my opinion. It's my opinion. Because Marvel's Avengers was really rocky for a while. Okay, a couple of patches in. Started looking a little bit better. The player pool was very low for a while. That started getting up a little bit. And then maybe a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two, give or take. Don't quote me on this. The Black Panther expansion released. Boosted it up a little bit more. And it looks like it's going to be a game that at some point, maybe now, you could say, that game will be a very smooth experience to enjoy. And super fans are enjoying it right now. I'm aware of that, okay? So that, okay, was a big issue, in my opinion, that clouded this announcement a little bit. So you get the initiative, you get this announcement with Crystal Dynamics. What is the first thing we're going to think about with Crystal Dynamics? Marvel's Avengers. And how did that release? Not very good, right? So even just the cadence of things, right? Whether that's a personal brand or a company, if you have a situation where it's really rocky for a while, whatever announcement that you make, people are going to be concerned, right? Forget. Well, can you forget that? Hold on. Well, let's just say this for a second and we'll roll with it. Forget the fact that Crystal Dynamics is mostly known for a third-person experience. Okay. Right? But the last game that they just released or published or whatever the wording is for that, okay? You know what I'm saying? This last thing was plagued with a lot of issues before it got really good. Or decent or playable, right? I think the graphics were an issue on one platform. The game was broken a little bit, as they were saying, for Marvel's Avengers. So you get all those things. And as people are recovering for that, people even stop playing Avengers because they're like, I'm not even going to touch the game anymore until it gets to a place where we can actually enjoy it, right? And some people still haven't played the game ever since it was having its issues. Okay, so you think about those things that happen just on a game side. Just remember how long it took Microsoft to recover from that whole thing that happened with the system and the consoles and all that for the Xbox One. It took a long time for them to even recover. They have at this point, I believe, but it's that history is still there. So what do you think is going to happen as soon as, you know, you get an announcement like this? It's supposed to be an amazing announcement. I still believe that it is. But as you mentioned, why didn't you give us a teaser of a first person view of the game and then a third person perspective? Because Crystal Dynamics are masters at that. If you did that, that would have been a different situation. It'd be like, oh, okay. So now we see Crystal Dynamics doing what they do best. And then we see this game. And we're like, okay, that's a different experience. But we didn't even get anything. We just got what? A Twitter post? Like, that's all I saw. What did you see?
Nothing else.
That's all I saw.
I did the same. But that can also be in just poor marketing. I mean, okay, I get the angle that you're going at with it. Is just that they're being clouded by a bad
just
game
a little bit.
That's in everybody's mind. But if you have the right marketing and it's being put out there in the right way, people some can forget, like, hey, you kind of had this crappy game that came out. Because, like, you have things like Call of Duty Vanguard, which people are talking about and jumping on and want to play. But you got the Activision and Blizzard. That's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the Activision Blizzard stuff that's going on, and people are like, I'm not going to play this. I'm not going to do their games. I'm not going to do that. But you also have like these people who are boasting about Vanguard. Same thing for the Diablo stuff from this past week. You have this whole legal battle thing that's going on with Activision Blizzard. But the way that they're advertising it, the way that they're skewing it and kind of like not trying to remind people about certain aspects of their studios or their publisher. To like, okay, we still need to hold on to our fans. We still need to grasp onto this and people enjoy our games. People forget about those things. So it's really how it's going to be marketed, really how it's going to be announced, really how it's going to be displayed and put out there. And maybe for them and for this specific instance, they're okay. Like, hey, we are working with it. Just to let you know. we're partnering with this studio and we're gonna work on it. But they, and maybe they didn't want to make it like, you know, this big announcement until they had something more to show, which I can understand that too.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad announcement. I believe that a teaser showing a quick first-person mode and a third-person mode would have served it much better.
And you know, that could be coming up too, of like, let's go double down, because even though we kind of sprinkled this and our hardcore fans will notice that we posted this, like in a year from now when we have this, they're like, oh snap, now we want to start hyping people up and getting people interested.
Yeah.
And paying attention more.
So even based on the response that they got back, I'm even going to tag them on this, you know, part of this conversation, because I'm going to have a timestamp for this. But it's like, why didn't you have a teaser, right? I'm wondering. And like you said, maybe the teaser's coming within the next couple of weeks and things of that nature. That would have been better. And why not pull individuals in who have been playing your games for such a long time just to get that insight? Because I'm sure you would have received it. You ask, you know, some creators that have played your game for the last couple of years, the Tomb Raiders or what have you, and bring them in and say, hey, here's what we're thinking. What do you think about this, right? And companies have done it before. They have, right? Bring some individuals or influencers, whatever you want to call them, to just say, hey, these are the things that we're thinking about. Do you think that this is a great approach or not? And then go from there. And I think that would have been received a little bit better. If everybody's saying the same thing about this, that they're a little bit on eggshells right now because it's Crystal Dynamics, that tells you that people are paying attention to what you put out, right? As a game company. The company that believes that the players do not know anything about their games are the companies that are going to suffer in the long run, because you have like individuals who have doctorates in the history of the Destiny world, the Halo world. They'll be able to tell you, hey, this particular part of the script didn't make any sense because according to the canon of this, they'll be able to tell you stuff like that. So if you're not even considering those individuals into how you're doing your marketing, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Agreed. And a lot of studios could get some insight from hardcore fans. And I'm not even talking about really well-known, you know, personalities, but like you can tell like the diehard fans. They're the people who are in your forums that are active and, you know, talking about the lore. They're the people in your servers that are like helping other players out and giving tips. Those people aren't necessarily content creators. They aren't necessarily influencers. But they know what they love about your game, about the world, about the universe. And some of them have made, you know, a livelihood to become influencers, to be really well known within that. But if you find those people within your game's fan base, who's like, you see their names pop up constantly talking about your game, sharing it with other people, or telling people like little Easter eggs and lore about it that people didn't know about. Those are the people that you really want to get some insight on. Like, hey, how would you have loved to learn about this or been told about this exciting news? You know.
So I'm gonna drive.
That's where I come from.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna drive it home, and I'm gonna give it back to you, and then we'll be in wrapping up. Can you imagine if Sonic wasn't redone? Do you think we'd be getting to this quick?
Oh no. No, you have like so many people are so angry, but you have to, that's a very thin line to be going on, because yeah, Sonic looked really, really, really bad and they didn't like this, but I also put it on that's a very, there's a very thin line about certain criticisms about things that are coming out. So yeah, nobody liked the way that Sonic looked. Obviously, somebody who created the original look for Sonic, that was approved. That was like, oh, that looks great. Oh, we're going to go with this look and all that other stuff. But then you have the people who, like, criticize very harshly for the live-action Little Mermaid movie that's coming out, and Little Mermaid isn't going to be a white girl. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. This doesn't even look right. She doesn't even look like this. So one is an animated character and one is an actual real human being. You can't always listen to the criticism that is received. You really can't. Even if, like, you can have this huge bit of people complaining about the look or decisions or whatever it may be, or that, you know, the race of a certain character was changed to fit, even though I'm perfectly fine with Little Mermaid being a black woman. That was a really huge criticism that people were not happy about. And I don't understand. They didn't change her, which is, I'm glad. But I think there's a very clear line, whether it be movies or video games, where you can't always listen to the criticism that's out there. You have to really decide about what makes sense. What is this vision you want to go for?
Right.
That's all. That's all I got.
Yeah, it's a lot. But excited for Perfect Dark. One of my favorite games, right? It was inspired by GoldenEye, I'm sure, right? Mm-hmm. It's really dope, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. So that's all we have for episode 595. Thank you guys for watching. Please make sure you like, subscribe. Definitely check out Daniela, twitch.tv/MissDJM. You can find her also on Twitter, MissDJM. You can find me here. Or you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Uriah, which is spelled U-R-I-Y-Y-A. Daniela, take us out.
And of course, you can check us out on the site at theshowradio.info. We appreciate you guys checking us out, listening, downloading us. Hopefully, if you love us enough, which I really, really hope you do, you share with a friend. Tell us about us and, you know, hang out with us. Till next time, have a good one. Okay.
Okay.
I have confidence in us.
Okay. let's do it. We could do this. We've done this before. This is not the first time. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Not the first time. All right, here, okay. Cool.